They're a pair of crackerjack reporters, a real dynamic duo who zig and zag their way around mighty good American ballpark to scrounge for the latest Reds news. Showing they can be keyboard wizards while also making sound waves talking about the local nine. It's the Big Pod Machine Podcast with Gordon Whitmire and Patrick Brennan. From the same fine folks who brought you the Press Box Wag. Here are Gordon Whitmire and Patrick Brennan.
All right. Well, welcome to another edition of the Big Pod Machine, the greatest podcast in the history of sports, never mind baseball. For my partner, Pat Brennan, who's on that other screen, and our terrific producer, Phil Didion, who's behind the scenes, I'm Gordon Whitmire. And Pat, last time we were on this thing, we talked about, by the way, before we go anywhere, where the hell are you? Hey, for people that are watching on YouTube, or for people who aren't watching on YouTube, Pat's in, looks like a closet, a very dark space, my man. Are you locked up somewhere?
I'm in a panic room right now, bouncing off the walls about the possibilities for the Cincinnati Reds. No, I'm tucked away in a deep, dark corner of Paycor Stadium. Some people will know that half my job is covering the Reds. The other half is covering the Bengals. I'm super fortunate. Today's another day when the two things overlap. So I'm down here at Paycor.
What do they use that room for, man? I can only imagine.
These walls
I'm
can
not
talk.
Sure I want to.
If these yeah, walls right. can talk.
Right. Well, I would imagine some of your panic might have been alleviated since last week when it comes to our river watch and who's going to jump in the river. For those who don't know, Pat and I have had for months a running bet. If the Reds make the playoffs, I jump in the river. And if they don't, Pat does. And we were counting down the minutes in the game. I wanted to do it last week because I thought it was clinched. Pat was going in the river.
And that was ridiculous. I should have outlined the rules for this. Several reasons. You're right. Foremost of which is that the Reds are now back in contention. Gordon, you've been on the road with the team. Tell us how you've experienced this. And to be fair as well, while I was on the road covering the Bengals season opening win this past weekend, you were finishing out the Reds-Mets series, which ended up being very important. Catch us up on where we are right now.
Yeah, so you were in Friday night, when they lost that opener to the Mets, it knocked them six games back with 20 to go, roughly.
22.
Something like that. Anyway, it looked like they were just toast. So we split up the post-game assignments. I went in the Mets clubhouse and talked to those guys about the race. You went in to the Reds clubhouse. And my understanding is that Reds clubhouse, people who have covered the beat a lot longer than I have, we're saying that's the worst sort of tone, feeling, vibe, emotion in that clubhouse post-game that they've ever seen in the regular season.
It was quite a thing to witness and be a part of. Some people, just for context, one person who'd been on the beat for decades described it to losing game 163 to the Mets in 1999. At old Riverfront Stadium, Synergy Field, whatever it was called at that point. Someone else compared it to the infamous Buster Posey game from Game 5, the decisive Game 5 of, I think it was the 2012 NLDS. So, I mean, for me not knowing any better, my first year on this beat, I recognized that it was pretty bad in there, but when I came back upstairs and people gave me that context, Gordon, I thought, "Whoa, unbelievable." Yeah. I mean, justifiably so. There was strong reason to think it was over at that point.
So here's a really tangible example of what Pat's just talking about there. So Andrew Abbott pitched that night, and Andrew Abbott came through the clubhouse, is my understanding, and left. He didn't want to talk to media. Now, That's fine. I mean, nobody likes us. Who cares?
He's also so entitled to do that. You know, right. It's not like he broke a rule. No.
Anybody, you can talk, you can not talk, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's so far out of character for him.
Yeah.
That it really underscores what the tone in that clubhouse was like, because he's a very agreeable guy, a down-to-earth guy, works
he's
with
awesome.
You.
Yeah.
Great guy. And he pitched last night, the last game of the, as we record this, the last game of the Padres series, and he pitched his ass off. I mean, he pitched 8 terrific innings. And afterwards, when we're talking to him, he acknowledged the feeling that other start. And he talked about how, you know, you kind of, with all that's at stake, you feel that moment so deeply. You feel like you kind of didn't do what you needed to for your team. You kind of let your team down. It actually motivated him coming into this. Not that he needs any motivation. He's a pro.
Yeah.
It just tells you where they were. They hit bottom emotionally night on the 5th. So I say all that, and we say all that to set the context for this. They've won 4 out of 5 games since then. They beat the Mets the next 2 nights. 2 or 3 of those wins were, I mean, dramatic. They beat the Padres bullpen twice. Back-to-back nights. Now, in case if you haven't been following baseball this year, that's the best bullpen in the game.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. There's just and they just bring arm after arm after arm out against you. They beat their closer the other night. Robert Suarez, all-star closer, powerful pitcher, great stuff, nasty stuff. They beat him with Tyler Stevenson's home run in the 9th. So, the fact that they came from the bottom of their emotional bucket on Friday to do what they've done since, to me, is remarkable, whatever happens the rest of the way. It shows something. Maybe it shows something about the manager, what Terry Francona brings out of his teams. Certainly shows a lot about these guys in particular, the way they're able to flush things and just play the next game and really play the next inning. I know a lot of that sounds like a cliche, but it's not easy to do when you get to the end of a season and then you have a stretch like they did where it feels like you could roll over. And I don't know what they're going to do from here on out, but I'll tell you this, Pat. They got through the Mets and the Padres. They won both those series in ways you might not expect them to. Shit, they had 3 home runs in I'm losing track of my days, the middle game of that series against the Padres. And now they got an off day on Thursday. They play the I was going to call them the Oakland A's, the Sacramento Wandering A's.
Yeah, the nomadic A's.
In Sacramento, then they go play the Cardinals. Neither one of those teams has a winning record. Cardinals play them tough, division foe and all that. But the schedule gets decisively softer, at least for a week. And they're only 2 games out of the playoff spot now.
Well, Gordon, I'm going to go back to something that I've said on the last few episodes of this podcast, which is that the Mets are such a combustible team, and we've seen it happen again. I didn't think it was possible for them to go in the tank again like they did at times in August. But here we are. They've lost 5 in a row.
5 in a row, yeah.
They're in danger of being swept in 4 games by the Phillies on the date of this recording. They have the Rangers after that. They have the Padres. They've got a tough, it's tough. The Rangers are suddenly very relevant again.
But they won again last night.
The Rangers just swept the Brewers to give you an idea of what they're
there
where they're
go.
At.
Enough
this
said.
Is going to be tough sledding for the Mets. San Francisco, who the Reds are tied with, they have 6 games coming up against the Dodgers. Sorry, 7 games. They have 7 games left with the Dodgers.
And by the way, for context, okay, we know the Dodgers defending champs and all that first place. They've beaten the Giants in both series, they've already played them this year. So it's not like the Giants have their number or anything either.
Right. You know, basically we've come from seeing the Reds season on life support less
multiple
than a week
times, ago, it seems, but yeah,
to less than a week ago to now, it feels like it's not a 50-50 coin flip, but it, like Terry said, it's going to be really freaking interesting down the stretch. I mean, there's no telling which direction the Mets are going to go in. I think, you know, at one point I had said that their ceiling was winning the NL East. Well, that's out of the question now because they're 10 games back, but of Philadelphia. But their floor is certainly still missing the playoffs altogether. And one of I saw a Mets beat writer on social media last night describe the team as lifeless. So within a few days here, Gordon, we could be talking about Reds versus Giants, and how does that look down the stretch?
Well, that was my next question for you. As we sit here right now with the Mets reeling and the Giants still playing good baseball, they beat the Diamondbacks in a series, and they've been playing well for, I don't know, 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Are you, if you're the Reds, are you more afraid of the Mets or the Giants right now, or anybody else?
The Giants. I think the Giants, because the Giants have come on strong in the last few weeks to get themselves back into this race, whereas the Mets keep falling back. And really, the Mets have several times brought the Reds back into this thing through their own deficiencies and losing streaks and poor performances. I think this might end up being, I mean, you know, I'm going to stop and just say, it's funny. A week ago, we were talking about how silly we sounded, because a week prior to that, 2 weeks ago, we were laying out what a Reds playoff starting pitching order might look like, you know? So 2 weeks on from that, we're back to having that same kind of conversation. I'm starting to feel a little bit delirious with how this conversation is.
This is the way the whole damn season's gone.
It is. It is.
Win five in a row, lose four in a row.
And I want to give you credit, because I think you looked up, I can't recall the exact game and date, but the Reds were in good form at the time, and you and I were strategizing about coverage after a game in Cincinnati, and you said, these SOBs are going to be in it right down to the last week. Because they won't go away. They won't go away. Yeah. And I think I've finally worn you down to the point where you also accept that the third wild, at least it's going to be true again this year. We'll see, you know, what it looks like long term. But that third wild card spot is begging for anyone to come in and take ownership of it. We thought that was the Mets. That was premature. And now we don't know. Now it's a three-team race.
So look at it this way. To your point, the Padres are three up on the Mets, which means they're five up on the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's after, I mean, the Reds won the season series against the Padres, including two of these last.
Five out of six?
No, they won 2-1 at the time, so 4-2. Yeah, and so if there were only two wild cards, like just a few years ago, you'd be staring at a five-game deficit, tied with the Giants, with the Mets in between, three games back of the field. And so, and I think that, I thought the Mets maybe had another series against the Padres. I'm not sure. That becomes decisive. But the point being that we'd still feel like there's no freaking way.
Yeah.
With that third wild card, to your point, it's going to scoop in a lot more teams that are in it late.
Which, that was probably the idea when they installed it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
the other thing that's happened, and people who have listened to this know, will have long ago heard me say this, there's merit to trying to win that third spot, because two of the three full seasons we have to reflect on now, with the 16 playoffs and three wild card teams in each league. In the NL, two of the last 3 years, that third wild card has taken the pennant, gone to the World Series. So there is some merit to just getting in. And now, you cannot count the Reds out. And that's incredible to say here on September 11th, 2025.
And when you talk about playoff seeding, the top two teams in each league get a bye. So they just sit around waiting for, what, a five-game series?
Yeah.
Everybody else has to play a three-game series, all of which are at, or each of which is at one site only. So the higher seed hosts potentially all three games. The thing is, this isn't basketball, man. This is baseball. The home field advantage is so less relevant than some of the other sports that, again, you get in, you just get in, and you're almost equal to the other three teams that don't get a bye, especially if you have somebody to start the first couple of games that you think are playoff caliber pitchers, and the Reds certainly have that.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to face the Reds. Nobody. If they get in, nobody wants to face the Reds anywhere, any matchup, and that's what we're looking at. Pat, I want to ask you this: if they were to get within a game going into the last weekend,
boy,
what kind of finish do you anticipate? By the way, for people, tell us who that opponent is. You know who that opponent is.
Yeah, I can tell you who all three teams would be facing. The Reds would be on the road for three at Milwaukee,
who they haven't beaten anywhere in a series since 2022.
Can I tell you the other two?
Yes, please.
The Mets finish with three at Wrigley, but then the last weekend, three in Miami. That doesn't really strike fear in your heart if you're a Mets fan. And the Giants have the Rockies at home for three. Maybe the softest, definitely the softest of the three. So, I think you were going to make a point. You had a question.
If they're equal, if it's the same, if the Giants and the Reds are hanging in there roughly equal at that point, they're within a game of each other.
Gordon, and something that an important factor in all of this is that the Reds hold favorable tiebreak scenarios.
Not with the Giants.
I think. Are you sure?
They're 3-3 against the Giants.
Yeah.
And the next tiebreaker is what your record is in your division, and right now the Giants have them beat.
Is it close?
It's a couple of games different.
Okay.
The Giants are a game under 500 in their division now. Again, a lot of this is going to just take care of itself with the final record because they face division opponents. So if the Reds overtake them for the tiebreaker, they've probably overtaken them in the standings.
Yeah. So, but all of this, you had a question. You were teeing up a question, and then I read the schedules out. What do I think will happen if it goes last weekend?
Like, what comes into play? What do you think? How do you think that plays out? What a place to finish.
It's kind of fitting in a way, you know, for as resilient as this Reds team has been, if they wanted to achieve, now I don't want to say their ultimate goal, because I'm sure at the start of the year, their ultimate goal was probably, you know, winning the NL Central. We're not there. But to achieve this postseason goal, to have to go through, as you've called it, their white whale. I mean, there's some poetry in that.
It's terrific. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah. It's very fitting.
Finish. I mean, it's a movie script.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's worth noting that I think the Brewers have a 4-game lead on Philadelphia for the top seed in the NL. It's entirely possible the Brewers now, you know, if they stand to have a bye, I don't think they're going to go into full rest mode with that last series, because I think there's also some data points that point to everyone's still trying to figure out how to navigate that buy once you earn it. It seems like a good thing. A lot of us have it in our minds that it's a positive from like the way the NFL playoff system works, but it's been tough on teams. Some teams have had this buy and come back from it for the division series and looked really crappy. So yeah. I don't think the Brewers are going to go into total rest mode if they have everything else put to bed. But maybe you get a lessened Brewers team on that last weekend. I think also, look, you gotta go for it at that point. I mean, I think everything is on the table. Anyone who's physically able, you know, pitching on short rest, whatever, like it's all hands on deck if you get to that point. And so that's fun. That's the position you want to be in.
So here's a couple of factors that come into play. Like I was talking to somebody in the press box yesterday who tried to suggest that that's exactly when you would want to face the Brewers because they'll have so many things clinched and they'll be lining stuff up. But I said, yeah. Well, if they don't have the bye clinched, they'll be playing for it. And if they do have the bye clinched, they're going to have to play their regulars a lot because they're going to have so much time off, and baseball is built on this routine. The other thing is that they could be playing for at that point. And I know it's kind of, well, it's a couple things, but one is that franchise has never won 100 games. And it's symbolic, but if they're at 98, 99 coming into the last series, the players are just going to naturally want that. They're going to want the 100.
Of course.
And so they're, you know, they're not going to take the foot off the accelerator, probably. And then the other thing is from a management standpoint, if you're Pat Murphy, one of the things that baseball really emphasizes at this time of year is that even if you're not in it, or even if you're not playing for something like the Brewers might be in a position, you can't just put out a B team every day. And you have to respect the integrity of the schedule. So if the other team is playing for something, you can't just hand them a series.
No.
So, that's less of a, that's one of those things where management can do whatever it wants, but it probably means you're pulling your starter after five innings, even if he's got a two hit shutout going. And he's at 70 pitches, and the players don't have the same intensity going. So, yeah, best case scenario is the Reds go into Milwaukee with a chance to get to the playoffs, and the Brewers have 100 wins in their back pocket, and they're lining up their pitching. So, but man, what a storyline if it comes down to that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we can only hope it goes that way for our purposes. It'd be kind of fun.
and remember what baseball did a decade or so ago, maybe a little more, when there were so many teams in the National League that were in it for playoff spot, and everybody had staggered start times. They said no more of that. So everybody starts at the same time, like the exact same start times everywhere. So it's the differences in time zones are taken into account.
Yeah.
And so the scoreboard watching becomes really intense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty intense the next few weeks, even before we get there. It starts with the not Oakland A's. Got to take care of business against this team.
I wrote a story about how the Reds get to the playoffs in five still very difficult steps.
Yeah.
In that story, I include all the various tiebreakers and where they stand against these teams and who's coming up on the schedule. So if anybody's interested in seeing the breakdown, go to cincinnati.com and check that out. It dropped earlier today, Thursday. So it's there. And anything that we didn't cover here is certainly covered there as it relates to where the Reds stack up these with 16 games to go.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. And yeah, I tell you, man, as exciting as it'll be for fans, if the Reds can close this out, nobody's going to want to see me with my shirt off jumping in a river.
Oh, Gordon, the way this is going, by this time next week, we'll be talking about me being a sure bet to go back in. And then maybe it'll change again the week after
then
that.
Then it'll change the last week of the season. That would be so appropriate for this team this year.
Yeah, it would.
All right. I think I don't know if we can add anything to this.
We've left our audience with quite a visual, as we usually do, the idea of you and me with our shirts off in the water. So
wait till the end of the season.
You can't
wait till
this
thing's all over. Oh, holy crap. All right. Well, with that, we'll tie a bow on this edition of the Big Pod Machine. And I know we're going to have something different and a lot more to talk about next week. Hell, where this thing stands right now and the way the schedule looks, we might be talking about a team that's in playoff position this time next week. So we'll see, Pat. So for Pat Brennan, Phil Didion, our terrific producer, I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer, and stay tuned all week and listen to us next week, because I know we're going to have something interesting to talk about.